Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gayamangal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
Isla got into the elite dance group at school. Are we surprised?
Yes.
No. Well, I'm not. I know you're not because I perpetually see her as an extension of myself. I'm always surprised because I never got into fucking dance group. In fact, I tried every year, never made it in. And in year six, I was like, oh, surely they'll let me in this year. Nope.
But she's actually good. You were not.
But like she's her own person or something?
Yeah. Babe.
Oh, wow.
Hate to break it to you.
Fucking wild.
She has her own personhood.
Wow. It's almost like she's not just another little version of me. She's like her own thing.
Yeah. Like she's into sport and what? You are not.
I know. It's just perpetually crazy and exciting.
So talk to me about this elite dance program. What does it mean?
She's so obsessed with the fact that it's called the elite dance group as well.
I am quietly obsessed with that as well.
Because she watches Dance Mums and she watched Dance Life and, you know, she's inspired. You know, she just loves the status of being in it. But basically only four girls from her year got in.
So proud of her.
She's one of them. It's lyrical contemporary, which is definitely her genre.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's now starting official lessons outside of school as well. So, Jem, our dream is coming true.
So excited.
Or shall I say, your dream is coming true.
I know. The first thing I asked Rebsy was, when are her competitions? I need them in my diary.
Yeah, I know. I should probably get them in my diary first, shouldn't I? Yes, I'll let you know. We can go watch together.
Yes.
We'll get tickets and we'll watch the whole thing. Regular listeners of the show will know that Jem genuinely likes to see full dances sent to her.
GP.
She gets very annoyed if I send her a snippet. She's like, oh no, it didn't come through. WhatsApp it to me. Like she needs to watch the entire thing. Go to Woe. She's very proud auntie.
It's my jam. Mm. I had the good mum over a couple of weeks ago and it was just me and her and the kids because I don't know what the husbands were doing. So we were tandem parenting and we spent an hour watching her daughter's end of year dance concert from last year and I was gripped.
Yeah.
Gripped. And then the good mum's like, okay, now we're going to watch this one. Jem, you'll love this one. This is the under 16s contemporary. They competed. They won this one. And I'm like, show me, baby.
Yeah.
Show
bring it me. On. Can we watch it again?
Just
go back. Go back. Is this how like rugby dads feel? Do you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's the
same.
It.
Same girl, same.
Anyway, should we get into the episode?
Definitely.
We have a thousand things to do, but we'd rather chat to you. With emails and meetings and husbands and kids, we don't have time for this. Just what you need, two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time For This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, aka Gemma Peanut on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Reeves. G'day.
G'day.
Now listen.
What?
Very first up, before we get into anything, we have a few retractions.
Oh, 100p we do.
And I just want to say, before the retractions, look, we're human, all right? It's a chat podcast. We've never been a science podcast.
Or claim to be journalists.
We're not journalists. We get things wrong, okay? So we're happy to fact check ourselves, but just like, just watch your tone, all right? Watch your tone when you're correcting us, because we're just people, for fuck's sake.
Wow. How's the defensiveness? On that one. I'm chill about it. I'm like, let's start at the very beginning.
All right.
Retraction number one.
Yep.
Free bleed. I realize I casually use the term free bleed, thinking it meant you're not on any birth control and you're having a free natural
cycle. Yes.
No, I've since learned that free bleed is not using any sanitary products.
No menstrual products at all.
No cup, no disc, no pad, no tampon.
Just free bleeding.
Just freeing it up.
As the name would suggest.
Mm.
I actually did have the thought in the moment. I was like, I don't know if that's quite right, but I didn't.
Oh, Revs, correct me in the moment.
I'm sorry. I just, you know, I've been so wrong lately. I just assumed you must be right.
On that. Let's go to Rebs's retractions. If you've been listening to recent episodes, you will know that we mentioned Sean Zepps.
Yep, friend of the pod. Him and his husband, they have a deal where every year they give each other 2 weeks of annual leave
from parenting. Say that one more time, Rebs.
Two
weeks.
2 weeks. 4 weeks total in the family, but I have absorbed that in my brain as 4 weeks each, which I understand is quite a lot when you think about it.
We're really used to you filing things incorrectly in your brain. Yeah, when Revs was like, and she doubled down.
DL's, I was so sure I was right.
Yeah, she was like, no, babe, it's 4 weeks. And I thought, 4 weeks each? So that's 2 months.
Out of a 12-month year.
That they're spending separately. And do you know the other thought I had was, what kind of jobs do they have? How much leave do they get? Like, imagine saying to your partner, I only get 4 weeks leave a year, but I'm going to take them for me. Like, that's what you were suggesting.
Well, they're both freelance, so, you know, they could do it. Anyway, the truth is they each gift each other 2 weeks off parenting per year. I was very sure it was 4. I'm sorry, I was incorrect. If you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we did a lovely deep dive episode with our friend Sean Zepps on his whole life that's in the subscriber feed if you want to listen to it. But that's the context. But yeah, I was super wrong about that. And I'm sorry I sent the internet detectives off to figure that out. The last one is a non-retraction.
Oh, here we go.
I've been getting some shade about calling my vagina the wrong thing, that I should have been calling it vulva. But actually, no, I was correct. So the context is I was talking about how I went for basically a medical and I had a cervical screening, and the doctor had a medical student and she did like an internal exam and a full examination of everything in my business. And I said she gave a 5-minute shoot in my vagina. Well, she was in my vagina, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. She also had a look at the vulva, but I am very proud to say I do know the difference. But look, I was too old when I did learn the difference. Mm. I was probably in my late 20s.
So is vulva the window dressing?
Vulva's the
vagina
curtains.
Is in the shop.
Yeah. Vagina's the birth canal. Yeah. That's your vagina where the penis goes or the baby comes out.
So question, when your child says something along the lines of my vagina's
vagina hurts.
Itchy.
Yeah, she means her vulva.
She means her vulva.
Yeah, and we should teach her vulva. Okay. It's not your vagina, it's your vulva.
But I feel like there's a level of acceptance that we also refer to it as we see it from the outside, a vagina.
Sure.
Penis and vagina.
Yes, that is the penis. That's correct.
Yeah, we're not like calling it the urethra cover.
The urethra cover. Baby, is your urethra cover itchy? No, that penis is correct. Vulva is correct. Vagina.
Vulva curtains.
Well, she could be talking about inside. You could do it that way. You could say your vagina or your vulva, and then that's the start of the conversation.
Great.
Right? I think it is important we have the correct terms for these things. But that's an interesting topic, right, about this is a bit of a segue, but I did hear this chat the other day about language. Mm-hmm. Like, so a lot of Gen Xers are very, very, and boomers as well. I'm scared to say the word boomer on this podcast. It's another thing I get shade about, but a lot of other generations are being very upset lately about how the Zoomers use literally because it's incorrect, I guess.
Sure.
But the chat I heard the other day from a linguist was, well, yes, it's technically incorrect, but that's what language does.
It evolves.
It evolves and it gets new meaning with new generations. And yes, it can be frustrating if you've learned whatever, but the new generation brings it to mean something new.
I have noticed another word that Zoomers use incorrectly, but I've accepted it. Do you know why? Because I don't want to be one of those grammar narcs.
No.
You know those people
who pick
Revs? I used to be.
I know.
I'm reformed.
I know. You are. You are reformed. You used to nitpick me all the time.
I did. Yep. And everyone on the internet.
Yeah.
And I was that smug bitch that used to comment being like, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. And do you know what's funny? I get it so wrong all the time when I'm typing in haste, whatever. But anyway, I digress. Back to the word that is used incorrectly on the internet. And it irked me something fierce last year. And then I reframed it in my brain and said, full acceptance, Jem. This is just how the Gen Alphas / Gen Zoomers are now using it. The word is aesthetic.
I know. It drives me crazy too.
I've let it go.
I've let it go too.
Yeah.
So aesthetic is not a word on its own.
No, it's something is aesthetically pleasing.
Or
it can be a
cottagecore aesthetic.
Yes.
It's a Hamptons
aesthetic.
It's a
1970s aesthetic.
Yeah.
But now Zoomer Gen are using it like, oh my God, I love that Stanley Cup. It's really aesthetic.
Yeah, it's nice to look at.
That's what they think it means.
They mean it nice to look at.
Correct.
And it's probably come from being the Pinterest generation, I guess, or TikTok or whatever. Yeah. Oh, that's so aesthetic. Do you say aesthetic or aesthetic?
Aesthetic.
Yeah, you're right. Because some people say aesthetic.
Oh, no, it's aesthetic.
She's not quite reformed. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Clutch my pearls. It's aesthetic.
Oh, yes.
So, Rebsy, on the topic of reform and finding acceptance, have you semi-accepted POV? Are you letting it go?
Can't.
Okay.
I can't.
Because I have.
Have you? Wow. You're so zen these days. What's happening?
I'm trying to channel my mum. I just don't want to be that boomer.
Curmudgeon.
Our version of boomer. Yeah, a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Like a millennial. Because that's coming for us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They'll be like, oh, any minute now, it's going to be, okay, millennial.
Yeah.
Even my Zoomer stepsister said, oh, Kate, sometimes you millennials so hard. And I was like, ow. But yeah, I'm a millennial. That's who I am.
But this is the natural cycle of generations. We worry endlessly about the gen below us, yes, and how technology is going to ruin their lives, yes, and we should be concerned for them.
Oh my God.
And then we eye roll the gen above, and yes, our kids are going to do the exact same to us.
Of course they are.
And they're going to be so worried about gen
whatever.
Bravo. I know, beta.
Gen beta. I don't actually know if they'll be called beta. They can't possibly follow the alphas with the betas because it's so Brave New World. Like, it's so not as good as the alphas. They're going to have to give them a whole other name. I'm sure it's in the works. Who does come up with this stuff?
No. But I secretly, because you think about Gen X's, Gen Y, Gen Z, I love being a millennial.
It's fun. It's a little different.
Oh, we could be Gen Y2K. Like, that's kind of cool too.
That's cute. Yeah. But we're not.
But we're not. All right.
We're the millennial bugs.
Do you know what's a rude thought is that people born in the year 2000 are now 24.
Yeah, that's how maths works.
Fuck you. But you know when you meet someone and they're like, hey, I'm born in 2008. And I'm like, what?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Didn't birth stop happening after 95? I know.
Well, she who was born in 2008 is now...
I can't work that out. Don't look at me.
16.
So the reason I get things like Sean's 4 weeks versus 2 weeks very wrong is I have, I guess it's like number blindness. I don't know. You put a number in front of me and it falls through my brain like a sieve. I have to work so hard to retain anything with digits in it. I'm not like that in any other way.
There's got
to
be a word for it because
yeah,
I want to say numeracy dyslexia.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not that.
I don't invert them.
No.
I don't think of 32 as 23 or whatever.
No.
It's like I literally lose hold of the information. It's a sieve.
Yeah.
It falls through me like a sieve.
I don't judge it, Rebs. I fully accept it.
Thanks,
because
babe. It must be infuriating. We are literally business partners. And I'm like, how much did we budget for this? It was like 5K. Right. And you're like, no, Rebs, it was 3. And I'm like, no, we said 5. And I know it's an extra annoying when I double down.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I've doubled down on directions with you before.
Yeah, no, that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all have these failings.
We sure do.
Free bleeding is a real special one. People were like, wait, Rebs is a free bleeder? How does she go to work? You're sitting on this gold velvet throne, just free bleeding?
Oh my gosh. When you say gold velvet throne, it reminds me of the time that I got my vag steamed in LA.
I believe you mean your vulva.
Okay, my vulva. It was called my vagina steaming session.
Well, then maybe it was internal. Was it internal?
Well, I'm sure the steam goes up the canal.
Yeah.
Gives it a good cleansing.
You got a vagina steam in LA.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Wait, did you sit on a velvet throne to have your vagina steamed?
Yeah, look. It was during my infertility era and I was willing to try everything and anything. And you know what? If Gwyneth said vagina steaming at the time was good for me, I went ahead and I did that.
100%. Yeah.
Yes, I sat on a throne. Like literally, they dressed up the chairs so it felt like a throne.
Okay.
It was lovely.
Is it like a massage table where there's like a hole?
Yeah.
Okay.
For your vag.
And then steam just goes up it.
Yeah. Okay. Smells beautiful. It's warm. Like you get sweaty box. It starts dripping because it's steamy.
Yeah. Well,
it's great.
I don't know if I've ever had a sweaty vagina before.
Rebs, we know this about you because you love going commando.
I do.
And I cannot go commando. If I didn't wear undies, I would 100% have a dripping vag.
Really?
Yeah.
From sweat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Something about my inner thighs, skin rubbing with my outer labia.
Okay.
You know, it's a recipe for a pool sesh.
Okay. Mm. Interesting. Mm. Oh, I lie. I have experienced a sweaty box.
Go on then.
Being a bridesmaid.
At my wedding?
At your wedding and my sister's wedding. Two very hot weddings in floor length gowns, going commando and standing there holding the bouquet, witnessing, you know, the beautiful ceremony and thinking, can everyone see the sweat running running down from my vagina, like crease, like pooling in the like crease between your thighs and vagina, and then like, and then inner thighs. At your wedding, I could even feel it pooling in my shoes.
Yeah, but at my wedding, you had beading. Your sister's wedding?
Silk.
Yeah. I feel like that was a way riskier option, you know?
You know what else happened at my sister's wedding? I could hear a swarm of bees. And I was like, just slowly turning my head, being like, is there a swarm of bees? And then Al, the bridesmaid next to me, was like, can you hear that too? And I was like, is there a swarm
of
bees?
So disconcerting.
So we're like standing there in the full sun, sweating in these silk dresses, held together with, you know, dental floss and sticky tape. You couldn't wear a bra with them, nothing. It was all just like little, like, you know, we taped our boobs. And I was like, is the boob tape going to sweat off? And then I was like,
how could you concentrate?
I couldn't. And also I'd been massive part of the art direction of this day. So I was like very concerned with the fact that my auntie on my mother's side put up a giant blue golf umbrella for shade.
Why do they do that?
Why?
It's like the giant iPads.
At a wedding.
At a wedding to take photos.
Uncle Jeremy with his iPad down the aisle.
Yep. It's a photographer's nightmare.
iPad.
Absolute nightmare.
Oh my God.
And they always have the ugliest covers.
Yeah, I remember when you were shooting weddings that you had, didn't you have a clause you sent to people like if you could ask everyone to put their iPads away?
Well, I don't have a clause, but I put in the questionnaire, would you like an unplugged wedding? Yes or no? Don't know what an unplugged wedding is? Let me explain it for you. Yeah. What are the benefits? Let me further explain that for you. You know, it makes all the difference.
Yeah. Always fun to fight an ambitious auntie down the aisle to get the shot. And then you get the perfect shot of the kiss or the ring going on or whatever. And then like little Auntie Jane's in the corner with her iPad wrecking the shot. Oh, well.
I always remember my girlfriend Amy's wedding. I remember saying to her, are you going to have an unplugged wedding? And she's like, no, babe, I want everyone filming and photographing me and posting to their socials immediately.
All day.
Yes. This is my day.
Yes, queen.
And
I love it.
I love how much you own that.
Yeah, I love
you
that.
You know? She's like, no, I don't want people to restrain themselves.
I know. I was very precious. I want full editorial control and nothing shall be released until Hattie has gone through a complete press check by the head of state, aka me. So, in fact, I even made my sister message someone and ask them to take something down.
You did not.
Yep.
You were that kind of diva.
I was that. And I was not a bridezilla. In many ways. Oh, Jem just made a face.
It's okay.
She just made a face.
You were very much in control of your wedding.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Babe, the marriage fell apart and it's 10 years later. Like, you can say it.
It's okay.
What?
No, it's fine. I just,
what?
I still didn't appreciate that you put me in lace gloves.
I know, that was, I'm sorry.
When I had hyperhidrosis.
I know, I didn't even think of it. That wasn't cool. I'm sorry.
Thank
but it
you.
Was the look, you know? It was
I know.
It was my day.
It was your day, babe.
That's so funny. I know, no one ever thinks they're a bridezilla, but everyone's got a level. It's a spectrum.
Look, I wouldn't say you had a huge amount, just a tinge.
A tinge.
A tinge.
Just a note of bridezilla.
A note of bridezilla.
Mostly over aesthetic things.
Yes. Yeah.
I wanted it to look like my Pinterest board.
And visual approvals that go on the internet.
And press checks. Yeah, that's very divery. Oh my God, imagine doing it now and being like, they're like, nothing is to be released. This is a dark wedding. Or put your phones in this lockbox.
No, I'm kind of not against that.
No, I like the attitude of like, whatever.
I feel like I'm entering into my whatever era in a big way.
Oh, I like that.
We all are, aren't we?
Yeah, I hope so.
Like if you're in your mid to late 30s or 40s and you're still giving a shit about stuff or getting your knickers in a knot over dumb stuff, it's like, check yourself.
Totally.
I've been thinking a lot lately about my mortality. And I know it's a very depressing topic of conversation, but just to provide a bit of a reframe, like, again, it's just another way of forcing yourself back into the practice of gratitude and realizing that we do have one life and that time is our greatest commodity. I think we constantly need that reminder. You know, I'll listen to a podcast and suddenly I'm like, yes, you know, or if someone loses someone significant and they share a post online and they're like, squeeze your babies tight today or whatever, like all of those little micro reminders are needed.
Yeah.
I think on a weekly, if not daily basis, to just be grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
I still stand by my favorite little quote someone else in the world is happier with less than what you currently have. Yeah,
100%. 100%. How did we get to toxic gratitude, Jen? We were talking about bridezillas.
I know. I didn't mean to turn it into something wholesome.
Fuck.
Sozzles.
Not everything's a fucking lesson in gratitude, Gemma.
Well, today I'm feeling the need to be grateful.
You were not a bridezilla at all. At all. You were very chill.
I actually think I needed a tinge of bridezilla.
Yeah, you could have used a little more. I was sprinkle. Like, Gem, what's happening with, you know, whatever? And you're like, I don't know.
My hair? Like my hair
have
was.
Have we told this story?
Surely we have. My hair was unspeakably bad. Mm. It was giving 80s pageant. It was bad.
It was not good. Yeah. It was giving Rocker Stedford, the whole thing. Hmm. Well, but we kind of, see, the good mum and I kind of bridezillaed for you.
Thank you.
No, badly. Like, as in we, like, maidzillaed. Because we were like, are we booking hair and makeup? And you're like, guys, it's Thailand. We don't want hair and makeup. It's not our style. Like, everyone just do your own hair and makeup. And we were like, we are not models like you, Gem. We need hair and makeup if we're going to stand up there and, you know, get photographed all day in our bridesmaids' dresses. You must get us hair and makeup. You're like, okay. So you got her through on hair and makeup. And it was a disaster.
It was.
It was truly hilarious. Mm. If TikTok had been around, I'm sure we would have made a very funny TikTok with one of those recorder songs being like, hoo, 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 you know, because it was a joke.
It was bad.
It was really, really bad. They made Jem look like a poodle in a pageant. Mm. And I was literally chasing the hairdresser. I was so rude because it was like the orchestra, not orchestra.
The orchestra.
The music started playing to play down the aisle, and she was still hot tonguing, and I was shooing her away and chasing her around and brushing out
the curls. The poodle curls.
And thanks Thailand humidity, they did fall, and they did look like perfect waves by the time you got to the top of the aisle. So all's well that ends well.
Exactly.
Gratitude. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the three MCO Beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number two would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the sun-kissed bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favorite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today.
You know what I don't have time for?
Thank God. What don't you have time for?
Hospitality protocol and expectations.
Ooh, okay.
Sounds fancier than it actually is.
Okay, hit me.
Well, you know, Rebsy, we're at that age, right, where you entertain, like you might have gatherings, like we're back in the gathering era,
yep.
Which I love. You have people over or you go over to people's houses. And I've just noticed that different rules apply to different households.
Okay.
And I'm one of those people when it comes to social occasions, I like to be a lemming.
Okay.
You know, I'm happy to do like whatever the general consensus wants to do, I'm down with.
Mm, there are two types of people here.
Okay. So for context,
yes.
Whenever my husband and I have people over and we have an entertainer's house, so it's fairly often, our group of friends will happily bring over a plate, like a contribution, whatever it is. Like we're in a text chat and people will be like, oh, I'll bring a platter of fruit for the kids, or I'll bring this, I'll bring nibbles, you know, whatever. And it's great. And people turn up and whatever. Now, I feel uncomfortable when I go to someone's house and I say, oh, what can I bring? And they say, no, nothing. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm happy to like bring a salad or whatever. And they're like, no, it's fine. And then you turn up and they've catered for everyone. And then I'm like, am I doing it wrong? Are we meant to put on everything for everyone? Are we now shifting into a new era where the expectation is if you invite people over, you should be providing all of the food?
Okay.
So I'm just not sure. I guess what I'm trying to say is it just stresses me out.
And did you see that post in the Facebook group the other day?
Which one?
There was a post that someone said, hey, I've just been invited to a get together or barbecue or something, and they've asked me to bring a salad. salad. I would never ask anyone to bring something like that. Am I the asshole post? Am I wrong here? But is this super rude with the tone?
So clearly there's someone.
So that's different, right? It's like they've obviously believed that if you invite people over, yes, if you're having the party, you cater, you know, is kind of the general gist. But personally, I would love someone to tell me exactly what to bring. Happy to bring things.
Same.
And I would definitely not find it rude. I wouldn't be like, they've asked me to bring a salad. I would never. I would just go, cool, I'll bring a salad.
Do you think there's a difference between a general gathering for no other occasion other than to tandem parent with a group of friends than say to like a 40th or
100%
your kid's birthday? Because I think there's a clear delineation there.
I do too.
But now what I'm learning is people are having casual gatherings and fully catering it.
Well, here's the thing.
And I don't like it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I like the communal feel.
Okay. A couple of things are going on here. One.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yes.
Can you tell?
Yes. Also, catering generally as a topic and a category is uncomfortable for you.
It is.
Catering, food. Like I remember the spiral you went down about what food to put on for your daughter's birthday party. And the good mum had to literally write you a list, and you went and you got explicitly what was on the list.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for that list.
Great. It wasn't a guide. It was like a map. Like, okay, so she said four finger buns cut in half. So you bought four finger buns and cut them in half.
Oh no, I followed it like a recipe.
Yeah. So let's just acknowledge that you find that category overwhelming. There's that, okay? But let's park that for a second. Yes, I think there is casual things and there's events and they're very different. I think we've come out of the age and stage where if you were to throw, say, a 40th or a kid's birthday party, you would put that on for your friends. You wouldn't ask people to bring things.
100p.
Although if it's at home and barbecue style, like casual, I would still expect people to bring drinks. But I would have enough drinks there that if people didn't, it was still a party.
Yeah.
But I would still be like, oh, they came empty handed. Interesting.
Would you? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So, if it's casual.
Okay.
If it's casual. If it's a party, no, you put that on. If you want to throw a party and people are bringing gifts and it's a celebration of you or your partner or a kid or someone in your family, if you're hosting a party, you 100% put that on, I think. Now, my caveat to all of this is every group, so friendship group or family or whatever, conglomeration of people have different vibes and different rules. So I guess it's like you kind of need to go with the flow in the chat. So I think if there's a formal invitation, then the host is putting it on.
100p.
Even if that formal invitation is text, I still think it's like, you're invited to, you know, Gem's 40th. I would assume it's being put on and I would bring a gift. That would be my contribution. Or I would bring flowers or whatever. But yeah, if it's like, hey, is anyone around? Do you want to like come over for a swim?
Yes.
Then I think you would hope that other people in chat would go, I'll bring sausages. I'll bring dips, whatever. I'll bring fruit for the kids. And the group kind of works it out that way.
So is the term for that is potluck.
In America.
In America, yeah. Which I love.
Yeah,
so I learned about that in the US. I was there in my mid to late 20s. And I love the communal aspect.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And usually it's over catered because everyone brings a plate of something. There's too much food, but then you take stuff home and you're kind of divvying it up amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like I enjoy that sentiment towards a gathering of people and you contribute and I feel good contributing.
You feel good about that. So you feel uncomfortable when someone's like, don't bring anything, just come just you and they've catered for everyone.
And back on the invitation thing, because yes, I understand that there's gatherings where it's like, hey, do you want to come over this afternoon, we've got nothing on. Like that's one end of the casual spectrum. But then there's the other end of the casual spectrum.
Haven't seen you in ages. Let's get together.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about, where it's not for an occasion or an event. It's still a casual gathering, but they still put on a whole catering spread. Because then what happens is, because I live in fear of people thinking that I don't err on the side of generous.
Okay.
Because I do. That's how I live my life, is I err on the side of generosity. I'm a big believer in under promise, over deliver.
Sure.
These things that I live by. And I get anxious anxious. Yes, that I'm
you
like,
do right now, for yes, example.
Like, because I'm also very considerate socially where I'm like, I say to my husband, I'm like, hey, those people like have invited us over twice. Like we need to, yeah. It's our turn yeah. to host them back.
Yes.
And then I suddenly go, oh, but they fully catered uh-huh. for the 20 people they invited. So is it now not okay for us to ask them to bring a plate? Because that's what we do with this other crew of friends, for example. Uh-huh. I've overthought it. I have.
Okay, two things. One, your house, your rules. Mm-hmm. Your party, your rules. Like you're allowed to ask people to bring stuff. Absolutely. Because when you're hosting, let's not forget all the mental load and the big job that is hosting. First of all, you clean up for everyone to come.
I was about to say the clean up is a big one.
And the getting ready for it. And like, you know, you put on music and you get the house ready and you make sure there's enough plates and cutlery and cups and blah, blah, blah. And like, there's a big job.
For me, it's washing towels.
Towels, pool towels. Yep. Then at the end.
Which I don't mind doing, but it is a thing.
Now hold on to that thought. Okay. I don't mind doing. Okay. Hold on to that because I'm getting to that.
All right, I'm holding on.
Then at the other end of the gather, then you've got to wash all the towels and people inevitably leave all their stuff behind and you have to send like, whose glasses are these? And oh, did I leave my charger? And blah, blah, blah. Then you've got to clean up all the cutlery and the plates and the multiple loads of dishwashing and then you've got to mop the floors. Mm. So there's a big job with hosting. I think that everybody understands, which is why I'm a big believer in bringing something mm-hmm. to everything.
Yeah.
Like I would bring flowers or a little candle. I guess it's called a hostess gift, which is really old school. But and so you get really, really awkward about those.
Yeah. I like to have a relationship with people where it's become so familiar and casual that we no longer bring hostess gifts. Sure. I hate that term so much.
I know. But if I was coming to your house and you'd said, just come, just you, I would bring something. Usually I bring salt and vinegar chips for you. But
would you?
Yes, I would. I would bring something, even if it's us. I would, because you're hosting and having me over. Like, I could bring flowers.
So all those years when we were doing the podcast at my house.
That doesn't count. That's work, bitch. Anyway, so hosting's a huge job. Mm. And I think if you're hosting regularly and it's the same crew, well, yeah, everyone bring chip in or whatever. But as you said, you don't mind doing all that stuff, washing towels and stuff. You don't mind because you like having people over at your place, right? There are people and you have to let them be who love throwing a party and just doing it all.
That's so true.
They love being generous in that way. Mm. Maybe it looks more generous because I guess there's a monetary value assigned to buying food and booze.
Yeah.
But there's a time and love and care and mental load value assigned to washing towels and cleaning up. But some people, my dad and stepmom are these people, and I'm one of these people. Mm-hmm. Some people like to throw a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be awkward because some people are uncomfortable with it. They don't like it. I want to bring something up with you.
Go on.
My 37th birthday.
Oof. Wow. You're stretching the memory there. What happened?
Well, we went out for lunch.
Yeah.
And I organized it. Yeah. I was like, I want to go for lunch for my birthday.
Oh, I remember. This is Rebs in her I'm flirty seven era.
I was in a bad spot and I was trying to force fun and I forced everyone to come for lunch with me on a Friday and people put their kids in care.
Forced is a strong word.
It's fine.
No, I won't have you say that. You were in an era where you were asserting your, I'm this independent woman and I want to celebrate being 37 and I'm throwing myself a lunch and all you bitches are coming.
And I got myself a cake. Yeah.
You got yourself
a
cake.
I'm going to wear a nice dress and I want to just like, look, famously birthday is tricky for me. And I was like, no, I'm taking charge of this birthday and we're going to have a great time. And it was, you know, everyone has their own lives. And so in my head, I was like, I want to buy lunch because I forced everyone to come here and get on my vibe. So I paid for lunch and everyone was very mad at me.
Well, yeah, it was annoying. I'll be honest. It was really annoying. Like me and the good mum were like, why is she doing this? Why is she setting this new precedent?
But I wasn't trying to set a precedent.
I know you
weren't.
And
that's what I'm trying to say is that some
people. You don't mind.
There's no secret agenda for these generous people. Just like you don't have a secret agenda happily washing all the towels and getting your house ready. Mm. It's not saying I'm going to do this, so therefore everyone has to.
Do you know what's so funny is you're so right when you say it like that, but I can't apply it to myself.
Yeah, right. Right. Okay.
Or I can't apply it to the POV of other people where I'm like, oh, I'm putting them out by asking them to bring something or whatever.
If I may.
Yes.
I think you need to do some work on listening to your own opinion on this stuff.
I know.
Like what I'm hearing is you can't hear your own opinion. You can't hear your own voice. You're very worried about how it looks or what other people will think. Mm-hmm. And like, I really think it's okay to be like, well, when we throw things, we just ask everyone to bring a plate. End of story. And when these friends have us over, they always go all out and they like doing that.
Look, the biggest takeaway for me today and the light bulb moment is when you said that some people just love hosting and there's no agenda. And a girlfriend of mine does come to mind. She has a very entertainer's house and she's got a pool and all that stuff. And she loves having people over and she's the hostess with the mostest.
Yeah.
She's good at it. She enjoys it. But then you go, oh, fuck, like she's always, you know, like I then start adding all of my layers onto her and going, well, this isn't fair. Like we need to get them over more and blah, blah, blah. You know, all of these thoughts go into my head when actually she's just like, I get energy from hosting.
She loves it.
Living my best life.
I'm one of those people. Yeah. I love it. We went out for dinner with friends a couple of weekends ago. And because I live right in the middle of Manly, I often have people come over for a drink before dinner and they came for a drink and I was like, no. And like, I loved it. Yeah. I love buying the nice champagne, getting the nice dips and getting all my little plates out, my little knives that I like, all my little things I like, because I just like that stuff. I wasn't like, now I better get this back.
No.
She better have me around and get out her plates and buy the nice champagne. I could give a shit if she never does. I enjoy it.
Yes.
I enjoy spending that time and being a host. Like I just like it.
It's like when friends come over to mine and they want to help tidy up the dumpster fire that is the playroom because 10 or 12 kids have descended and nothing is in its box or in its drawer. You can barely see the carpet. There's shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I have to actively go, no, I will do it. And they're like, no. And we have this tussle where I'm like, it's fine. I know where everything goes. You have
Please don't put the train in the car box.
Literally.
Yeah. But I respect that.
But then when I go over to someone else's house.
Oh, you don't want to do their playroom.
No, I.
Oh, you do.
This is what I, because I feel like.
You're that kind of person.
What is wrong with me, Rebs? Like, why am I okay with friends not doing any tidy up? And yet when I go to their houses, I'm like, well, Jim, you can't just let your kids
leave this. Well, I think that's very clear why.
I'm a people pleaser.
Yes. And you've got to quiet that noise, babe, and just. Be you and own it. Why don't you just say up front, now I'm the kind of person who must do their own put away because I hate when people put things in the wrong place. Is that you or can I help? Mm. Like that. Mm-hmm. End of.
You know those friends though.
A confession's coming. I can see it in her face.
But like how funny are friends who are not natural hosters but feel like it's their time to host.
Oh, the worst.
And you go over to their house but you can see that they're hating every minute of it.
There's no food. Everything's wrong.
Or they're worried about their couch or their walls or the floors or the towels or the you know, and I feel it's like okay. I want to hug them and go, it's okay not to host.
Yeah.
Yes, you have a lovely back garden and an epic trampoline that kids love. You don't have to host. No. This looks like work.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they do it like once a year.
And would you begrudge them if they were like, we hate hosting, let's go out and let us get this dinner. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't mean they're setting a precedent that you have to get the next dinner. Just let them do it their way and it's all it all comes out in the wash.
And the other thing that I love is when people go, do you know what? I'm getting takeaway.
Yeah.
All good.
Love that.
Yes. And everyone's happy to chip in.
Yep.
So
or
easy.
Not.
Oh, no.
No, that's another one. If I have people, and listen.
Dangerous.
I'm in a funny position I need to declare. So I live in a 2-bedroom apartment and there's no parking and we don't have a pool or even an outdoor area. And I really miss hosting because I love hosting, but I haven't done it in this stage of life or for years. So it's different. So I love to get the Uber Eats if I'm around at someone else's house or bring really nice wine or I like to do those things because I'm not having people back to my house. Or if we go out for lunch or dinner, I want to get it because you know what I mean? I'm that person in the general wash of things who's not having everyone over and doing all that stuff. But also I have had people over with the kids after the beach or whatever. And it's like, should we get the kids a pizza? And it's my house and I'm happy to just get it. And not get everyone to chip in. You know, yes. Like every now and then, it's fine. Sure, if it became every Saturday after Nippers and everyone comes back to mine and I'm getting $200 worth of pizza every Saturday.
That's different.
Then it's like, you know what? This is feeling a little bit much.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit taken advantage of here.
But no one's keeping a ledger.
No, babe.
Well, if they are, I don't want to be friends with them.
This is a personality type.
Oh, my God.
There are two types of people.
Okay, hit me. What do I not know?
No. You and I, with each other, whether it's buying coffees or lunches, yep. We've always been, comes out in the wash, yeah. I'll get this, you get next time.
Totally.
I've got a few friends like that. Mm-hmm. But there are also people who can't handle if you deviate from the, oh, no, we got to, like, split it every single time. And I've learnt that language of splitting because I realize it's comfortable for them, or I don't want to make assumptions about people's financial situations.
No, of course.
Where if I go, I'll get it this time, they go, oh, but the dread. Yeah, the dread and the pressure of like, oh, that means I've got to pick up the dinner tab. So sometimes, respectfully, I think it's easier to follow the path of a clean division every time. Then there's no confusion or like, okay, so we got to meet up again. And in future, I've got to be the one to remember that I've got to pick up the tab because they did last time. Like there's pressure in that. Mm. And there's social anxiety for some
100%.
People.
100%. I get that.
But do you see what I mean? How nuanced it is how I've completely doom spiraled on this very topic.
100%.
Because my natural people pleaser personality, like I said, I die for anyone to think that I didn't err on the side of generous in anything that I do or how I approach anything. And I also die at the thought of making someone else feel put out or uncomfortable or stretched.
Well, you've got to stop dying over all of those things.
All right. Okay. I need to calm down.
I just think an explicit, direct, I know it's so boring. We always like talk about these direct conversations, but being direct with someone just at the top, you can make it light. Like I think one thing I hate, and I'm all for people who love to throw things and being generous and splashing out and stuff, and that's great. I do hate it when, you know, people who have repeat or multiple events for the one occasion, like a 40th or their wedding or their birthdays every year, and they always go like, it's my birthday, okay, let's go to somewhere really expensive, and then they expect everyone to pay, and then they get narky when people don't come after a few years, and it's like, well, you're taking the piss.
Yeah,
you know, I think we're at the stage, if you want to do something fancy, you throw it, or you say, how would we feel about, and like, you know, we're in a group chat of girls where we talk about, here's the set menu, it's this much ahead, everyone get their own drink. Like we're very upfront so that everyone's comfortable and covered, right?
Totally.
From the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're considerate of everyone's budgets.
Yeah. And some people need that and some people don't care, but that sort of covers for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. You're a non-drinker, right? And you've got a pretty lax stance on splitting the bill when you go out because, you know, the alcohol bill is always double the food bill on like a long girls' lunch or a couple's dinner or whatever, and you don't contribute to that. And you're always like, well, just split it, you know. But often you'll hear people go, well, Jem didn't drink. And you always go, oh, no.
Well, I leave it to the group.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't even notice that I didn't have a drink and then they'll go, cool, so we're splitting it six ways. And I'm like, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But then I've also had situations where people are like, no.
Yeah.
Jem didn't drink and we're going to work out the maths and blah, 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 blah. And then I just sit back and I'm like, cool. Like whatever everyone feels comfortable with, because clearly you don't feel comfortable with me paying for alcohol that I definitely didn't drink. So then I'm not going to compete with that either. Like,
totally.
Because again, it's overwhelming.
Well, for me, it's like, I can't do the math. So you tell me what to pay. You tell me it was $300 ahead, I'll pay it. Because I'm not going to be able to like question that. Because I've had three wines. Mm-hmm. I can't do the maths on a bill for drinking versus not drinking. Oh, pay whatever. Just someone tell me the figure, you know? But again, you're like, oh, well, I'll just go with the, what is your genuine feeling about the fact that you don't drink? Like, do you ever feel like, oh God, that was really expensive and I only had.
Oh, look, I think if it was like mega blowout, I'd be more aware of it. But It rarely is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't notice it. And for me, it's like the tax on fun. You know, I just go, well, I'm just feeling the vibes of everyone.
Yeah.
And I just want to be a part of it and I don't really care.
Yeah.
And if it helps other people out a bit that I wear some of the costs, so what? Like, you know what? I don't even think about it in that
detail. It's not the point of going out.
No.
And like, we're going out far less these days, aren't we? Because everything is so expensive.
Oh my God, Revs, that's so true. I think my laxness is because it's so infrequent that I'm just happy to be out.
Yeah.
To be frocked
because
up.
Because it's, I know this is global, but Sydney particular is a fucking joke post-pandemic. And this is no shade to people in hospitality. I totally get it. The industry has taken a massive hit. They have to recoup costs. It's not that. It's just like as the person who's like, what do we do this weekend? And you're like trying to, like we said, work with everyone's different needs and comfortable levels and budget and all those things. Going out is such a fucking treat.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, because everything is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like $40 entree. Like what? When did this happen?
Yeah, I was really happy. I was a non-drinker. I went out to a restaurant with my husband. This was towards the end of last year. And the most affordable bottle of wine on the menu was $90.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
It's just what things cost now.
I know.
It's crazy.
I was shooketh.
I know.
And I have no idea about the inflation of booze because I'm not across it. Like if you were to ask me what a Bacardi Breezer costs, I'd probably still say $8 a bottle, which is completely off the mark because I don't know because I'm not a part of that universe. But yeah, it's crazy.
I think it's more for hospitality, like the wages and obviously the cost of produce.
And rent.
And rent and like and insurances and all those things and obviously recouping losses from, you know, whenever all of those things are going to contribute. And I think one area definitely they can, you know, make it back is boot. I don't know. I'm actually scared to say because I know we'll have people who work in this industry and they've taken, you know, such a hit. But the point being when obviously going around to each other's houses more because of this and that's when all this etiquette does come into play. Mm-hmm. It's so funny, like my sister is very generous with hosting and even when we go to family places, like she does a lot of that and I am definitely the I'll bring the booze and the cake and presents, you know, like flowers or whatever. I definitely do that stuff because making all the food and stuff I don't love as much.
Oh no, when people bake, I'm like honored because for me the idea of baking or making something to take feels like a huge act of love.
See, I would rather bake than do a salad or a main thing because you can do it ahead of time and I get very flustered going anywhere, getting ready, kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And also I don't have a car and I live up, you know, on three flights of stairs and stuff. So getting like
Admin around that.
There's a lot of admin with mains and salads and things.
Whereas muffins, baking,
I can make them ahead of time. They're ready. I put them in Tupperware, chuck them in and we go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind baking. This is it. Everyone has their own things they like and don't like and are happy to contribute. And I'm always like, I'll do dessert because I just find it easier.
Yeah.
Whereas some people like salad, sign me up for a fucking salad or sign me up for bringing the booze because I just run in and grab it and pay for it and it's done. Yeah. It's interesting. It's very interesting.
All right. So I'm going to take my own advice.
Yep.
I'm going to worry less about what other people think.
Great.
And I'm not going to rack myself with guilt if I go over to someone's house and they're being next level generous.
I think it's really nice. If someone's being generous like that, I think what you have to watch is that you just, going back to the beginning of the episode, show your gratitude rather than layer it with your shit of like, oh God, do I have to do, and then you just seem a bit ungrateful and uncomfortable.
Yep.
It's better to be like, oh my gosh, look what you've done for us all. That's so lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is so enjoyable.
Because that feeds their love language.
Then they're happy that they've made you happy.
Totally.
And it's much nicer vibes. What's not nice is like, hey, I've put on all this. And everyone's like, oh, I wish you didn't. Now I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, so true.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That doesn't add to any fun.
And also, DLs, if you are rocking up to people's houses empty-handed, according to Revs, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And I agree with you, Revsy. Nothing makes me happier than when someone walks in the door and brings in my favorite brand of salt and vinegar chips.
I know.
Doesn't have to be $80 flowers.
No.
Or a $60 candle.
No.
Like, it can be as simple as a $6 block of chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah. Hey, I think it's time for a not spawn.
Yeah, baby.
And I've got a really, really good one, so sing at me.
Hit me with your not spawn.
I'm gonna.
I said, hit me with your not spawn.
So always looking for stuff I can watch with my kids now.
Brilliant.
Because we're of that age, they're up a little bit later and they want to watch something with me.
Cute. I actually thought of a film. Sorry, are you about to share a film and I'm just trumping you right now?
Sure.
Free Willy.
Oh,
no.
Here's the thing with like our era of films.
What, hasn't stood the test of
my
time?
My kids find them slow and boring.
Wow.
Because attention spans have changed. Styles of filmmaking have changed. Also, a lot of things don't age well in terms of wokeness.
And themes.
And like, are you going to pre-screen it? No. Like, okay, I tried to put on Splash for my kids and I was like, in the first 5 minutes, I was like, well, this is sexist.
100p.
Free Willy. I don't know. Yeah, maybe worth a go. But my kids would just cry the whole time because they're such empaths.
I watched it recently from a nostalgia POV.
Okay.
And I loved it.
Okay.
The little boy, Jesse. He's just so
good in it.
Okay. All right. Anyway, can recommend. I feel like your kids will love it, particularly Teddy.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of empathetic
tears. Back to your next one.
So there is a film on Netflix. I'm not sure when it came out, but it's Aussie. And it's about Jessica Watson. Do you remember Jessica Watson?
I watched it.
Did you watch it?
I fucking loved
it. It was great.
It's so good. It's so inspiring.
Yeah. So Jessica Watson was an Aussie. She was 16 and she circumnavigated the globe in her sailboat. She sailed the globe without stopping and she broke a record. She was the youngest person ever to do it and it was very dangerous and she trained hard for it. It's called True Spirit. Terrible title. Generic, I think.
It is.
But whatever.
When I hear something like True Spirit, I feel like it could be about a horse.
It could be about a dog that runs away. Yeah. Who knows? It's got Anna Paquin in it.
Love her.
It's got lots of Aussie talent.
Anna plays the mum, doesn't she?
She's great.
So good.
Yeah, she's so great.
And the young girl who plays Jessica Watson, she is very good.
Very good. And it's really well done. Mm-hmm. There's heaps of CGI and beautifully shot and very of a time. And it took me back because I remember when she did it. I remember when she came home and the fanfare.
So wasn't the fanfare incredible?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Because I knew nothing of it
until
she arrived home. And then I guess I fit the whole narrative back in and got myself up to date. And I was like, wow, what an accomplishment.
So cool.
And seeing her hug her parents.
I know. Well, see, now we watch the whole story from a different point of view.
Such
because you're like,
lens.
Imagine letting your little kid go and do this.
Wasn't she 16?
Yeah, 16. This seriously dangerous thing on their own. I didn't actually appreciate how dangerous it was. And there's like a really major moment just before she got home where she's going around Tassie where,
gets a bit hairy.
Gets very prickly. My kids were both crying. Little empaths. Anyway, it's a great movie to watch with your school-aged kids. We all three of us were very into it and it was just a highly enjoyable, when you realize you haven't reached for your phone and you're just watching it with your kids and you're commenting and it starts conversations.
So
anyway, True Spirit on Netflix.
Brilliant, not spawn. I actually have a to watch, not spawn as well.
Ah.
It's utter trash compared to True Spirit. It's on Netflix. It's a show called Love is Blind.
Oh, everyone's loving it.
I haven't watched it yet. It's got a chokehold on me. I just can't stop watching. I will declare I am not a fan of maths.
Mm-hmm.
I try to watch maths every year and four eps in, I'm like, this is trash. I can't do it. Whereas Love is Blind, it's like if maths is McDonald's, Love is Blind is grilled.
Just slightly better for you.
Yeah, it really is.
A bit more substance.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, the premise is that they separate men from women. They live in different living quarters in this building. And then they have these pods where they literally blind date. There's a screen between them. They can't see, but they have dates.
Okay.
Where they eat the same meal together or play the same board game like Battleships or whatever. Okay. And they just hang out. And the only way that they can see each other is if one of them proposes to the other.
Marriage?
Which I know is extreme.
Love it.
I know. It's madness, but they get so invested.
Of course.
And then when they finally see each other, so much changes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really interesting. For some people, it doesn't. And for others, it's you can see them get the ick. But they're literally declaring their love and their lives.
Okay.
They've named their future children together in the safety of the pods. But then when they're face to face, it changes.
Riddle me this.
Yes.
Do the producers fuck with people? Are they mismatching types?
So this is why I like it.
Okay.
My issue with maths is I think the experts, in inverted commas, have no say in the pairings. I feel like that's producers behind the scenes making those pairings and literally trying to find the drama. Putting opposing personalities together, someone who really values money with someone who's unemployed. What I mean? Like that's what I feel maths does, and that's what I have a problem with. Love is Blind, no producer participation in the matching.
It's just people.
It is just people falling in love with each other blindly because they have these long dates together and they go on for weeks.
Multiple people fall for the same person?
Yes, there's love triangles. It gets really awkward, and then sometimes they have to like pick someone, and sometimes they don't pick the right person.
Okay.
It's really juicy.
Is it Aussie?
No, it's American.
Okay.
But it's really well done. So once all the proposals happen and the couples meet, they then all go on a honeymoon. But what you don't appreciate is when I mentioned before about love triangles is they rejected someone else, but then that someone else has gone and proposed to someone else and they're all about to meet at the honeymoon.
Oh my God.
And then you go, well, the physical chemistry would have actually been between you two, but you didn't pick each other.
And does that ever happen?
Yes. Can recommend. Look, it's trash. It's the kind of show that I'm really into at the moment because I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed with work and I'm just enjoying going home and just shutting off my brain 100%. And just letting this delicious grilled garbage just wash
Love
over
it.
Me.
Well, I do watch maths and people will judge me for this, but I watch it with my daughter. She's 9. And the reason I watch it with my daughter is to have conversations about toxic masculinity, basically.
Gaslighting.
About
manipulation,
coercive control, these kind of conversations. I'm watching maths with her to have those conversations because it's so extreme and it's an example that she can see play out because she gets invested in the people. And I'm like, what do you think's going on there? And we have chats. It's a good parenting tool. It's a good parenting tool. But people will judge me for that because it's probably not appropriate.
Well, DLs, that brings us to the end of another episode. As always, thank you for letting us invade your ear holes.
Thank you so much. Hope we didn't set a precedent that you have to record an hour-long podcast for us.
Can you imagine that? And this week is an exciting week. Why, Revsy?
Because we have a watch party episode.
That's right. We won't be back in your ears bright and early on Friday, although we will be if you're not a subscriber. But if you are a subscriber, we've got our very first watch party episode
year. That's
right. We are going to be unpacking, dissecting, pulling apart and unboxing everything about the show One Day on Netflix. If you have watched it, you're absolutely going to love this episode because, spoiler alert, the reviews are a little mixed.
They are a little mixed.
Which makes it kind of interesting.
Yeah, we freaking loved recording this episode. We can really talk about TV for a long time.
And if you haven't watched One Day but you're nosy and curious to know what this show is about, you're also welcome to join.
Yeah, anyone can join.
All-inclusive situation.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.